Hello, Pittsburgh. I'm Zach Gibson, and this is TribLive's From the Newsroom podcast, bringing you top stories from TribLive.com. Saturday's Light Up Night ceremony downtown ignited the holiday season in the Pittsburgh area, signaling holiday gatherings, festivities, and time spent with loved ones. But for some families this year, there's a glaring obstacle. On the heels of a particularly energetic and polarizing election, politics are sure to be a hallmark of this year's holiday place settings. With so many opinions coming together at mealtime, it may prove difficult to get through the holiday dinner unscathed. Here with some expert advice to make this holiday season easier to navigate is Alexis Papalia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Now, can you talk a little bit about this election? Many people are aware that this election season has been a vibrant and exciting one for many Americans and other spectators outside of the United States. Even by the numbers, mental health professionals here in Pittsburgh have registered a noticeable effect.
Yeah, this, you know, the 2024 presidential election between Democrat Vice President Kamala Harris and Republican former and now president-elect Donald Trump has included some pretty intense moments from the first debate between current president and, you know, then candidate Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and then the switch out of candidates in the Democratic Party, assassination attempts against Trump, and just general fairly inflammatory rhetoric that we've seen, especially here in Pennsylvania, which is a swing state, and in the Pittsburgh area, things have been especially heated. And now that President-elect Trump, you know, has been officially elected, we are looking at some stressful times for some and some celebratory times for others. Mental health professionals around the area have seen a pretty massive uptick in anxiety during and after this election. And that comes in the form of things like despair or anger or alienation, even from family members.
Okay. So for this article, you set out to build a sort of guide for our audience to help them survive political polarization at holiday gatherings. One expert you spoke with is the licensed social worker, Amber Canoza, who's based in Carrick. What did she have to say about this political influence on family interactions?
Well, one of the things that Amber Canoza talked about was the fact that this is sort of a macro issue, meaning that it's something that is like politics or culture that is so big that it can feel out of an individual's control and can make them feel helpless about, you know, the state of the world around them, which can lead to a sense of despair. And that can be really detrimental to one's mental health around this time of the election season.
Mm-hmm. So in your story, you have a quote that says something like politics, culture, these things are issues that we as humans don't really have as much control over. So there's that helplessness that her clients feel regarding the election.
Right.
You also spoke with Elizabeth Ambrose, a therapist from East Liberty, that says a good first defense when working with these situations is setting boundaries.
She, along with many other therapists, stress the importance of setting boundaries. Ambrose herself, in fact, has been running into this in her personal life, she said. And so she talked about how with politics being so polarized, a lot of the discussions can go awry very quickly. And being in certain settings, feelings can become really inflamed and elevated. So her advice was basically to try to set these very firm boundaries ahead of time with your family members by doing things like telling them that there are topics that you simply won't discuss. If that's politics, if that's, you know, some specific issue, that's something that you can set with them ahead of time and be very firm, even though it can be very difficult to do that. And if you get into an extreme situation where people simply refuse to honor your wishes, removing yourself from the situation entirely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about the second tip presented in your article, which is a series of self-checks to help practice mindfulness. Now, for our audience, pulling from your conversations with these health professionals, what are mindfulness exercises and how can we implement them in the coming weeks?
Sure. Sure. So mindfulness exercises basically help you keep in touch with yourself and keep your emotions in check by being sure to check in with yourself. For example, Kanoza talked about how the purpose of having these mindfulness exercises is having a sense of awareness. What are your needs? What are you feeling? What are you feeling at any given time? And that way you can be sure to be able to control your emotions better. There are a number of different 5-minute mindfulness exercises, things like breathing exercises, or there are even ones that tell you to use your 5 senses by identifying things around you that you can feel or taste or touch or see. Keep yourself grounded in the moment and keep yourself within your own body without awareness.
Okay. You also spoke with social workers Schermeisser and Aaron Beckley, who both have a little bit of different strategies to help with this mindfulness. What did they have to say?
They both talked a lot sort of about keeping in control, which is another important part of being self-aware. Jess Schermeisser talked about even going so far as to prepare a script for going into these family gatherings, basically writing down what you will say in response to family members bringing up political topics so that you don't have to be flustered in the moment and you can be in control of what you want to say. You can do that in a text to yourself or in the notes app of your phone or even on a piece of paper if you really like to go old school. And that way you are more prepared and you don't get blindsided. Aaron Beckley talked about a technique called gray rocking, which is essentially turning yourself into a rock. The way he put it is, imagine yourself as a rock. If it rains, you're a rock. It doesn't matter. If the sun beats down, you're a rock. Essentially turning yourself into this non-reactive being, because a lot of the times when your family members will bring up these topics, they're looking for a reaction, and your reaction will feed and escalate that. So you can de-escalate the situation by simply refusing to provide that reaction and staying as in control of your own emotions as possible.
So all of these professionals that you interviewed for this article, while they share the field of therapy and social work, they have some different areas of expertise. Elizabeth Ambrose, for example, is a music therapist. Did she or any of the other professionals provide any advice from those areas of expertise?
Yeah, one of the most interesting things was Elizabeth Ambrose, the music therapist's idea of creating playlists that help to regulate your emotions. So basically, if you have a lot of stress, if you're feeling angry, creating a playlist that starts out with some angrier music, maybe something a little heavier or, you know, something that has lyrics that express the emotions that you're feeling, and then slowly adding songs that de-escalate those feelings so that you are getting to music that is more calm or soothing to help regulate. So as you listen, you're regulating your own emotions and kind of cooling down. And then Jess Schermeisser and counselor Mike Elliott both mentioned something using the 5 senses. When you're in a situation that is stressful, or afterwards, whenever you might need some self-care, which we should all practice as much as possible, you can make these things called self-soothe kits. Basically adding something from each of the 5 senses to a kit that you can either take with you or have at home in an easy to access place. Something that has something from each of the 5 senses, something that's pleasant to touch, something that's comforting to smell, something that you like to watch, like a TV show. If it's a soft blanket or a candle or lotion that's particularly nice to have, or some of your favorite chocolate, something that will keep you, you know, feeling good after a stressful situation. And Mike Elliott really talked about the idea of kind of taking a break in the midst of a stressful situation, doing things like going and playing with a family dog or going for a walk, something that will help soothe you in a stressful moment and take a break.
Now, let's change gears a bit. We've really focused on strategies when interacting with others this holiday season from the lens of going home for the holidays and spending time in navigating these conversations with family. But your story tells us that there's a group of people who are choosing to avoid family interaction altogether.
Yeah, so a survey company called Spruce did a survey of 2,000 adults between the ages of 25 and 65 after the election, and 23% of those people said that they aren't planning on going to a holiday gathering, or they're planning on canceling their holiday plans going into this post-election season. Instead, a lot of people are going into finding their found families, which basically means that instead of going to the family member's house that you were born into, finding people in the community, whether friends, whether in community groups or organizations that you feel comfortable with, that you feel that you have something in common with, and really that you can connect with for these holiday seasons and keep traditions alive that may have made these holidays meaningful for you in the past.
Okay. Now, this is just under a quarter of that sample size, which could potentially be a very large group when it comes to looking at America as a large scale. Now, do the experts have advice for these individuals as well?
Yeah. So Jess Schirmeister talked a lot about how the week of the election, almost all of their clients said to them that they were feeling alone. And they pointed out that if all of those people are feeling alone, it means that they're not alone. They may be lonely, but if they can find each other and find a community, there are a lot of people who are feeling the same things that you are feeling, and it's possible to find that found family within those circumstances. Amber Canoza, you know, talked about leaning on the people who are going through similar issues that you are, and who may be feeling your same emotions. And one of the best ideas that almost all of these people gave were having a Friendsgiving event. Now, Friendsgiving is essentially typically a potluck event that you can hold either on the day of the traditional holiday or somewhere around it, where you can have sort of a community together of people who you like and who are supportive of you to continue the tradition of celebrating a Thanksgiving holiday, even if it's not directly with family, whether your family is too far away or whether you just feel like you can't handle that stressful family gathering this time around.
One thing that I think it's important to recognize before we wrap up is that many individuals are simply looking to heal and repair sore feelings after the election and get past the heated excitement of the holiday season. I know that there is a lot that goes into planning for a holiday season between cooking, organizing locations, trying to figure out all of the different things for events, and even what you're going to wear to whatever event. But all of that compounding on such a heated and excited past few months, how do we begin to set that stage?
Well, one of the most difficult things is that there's only about 3 weeks between the election and the beginning of the winter holidays kicking off with Thanksgiving. So it's really hard to process those feelings for a lot of people. Even if it's a good election result for you, this may still feel like an elevated time emotionally. So one of the most important things that several of these therapists spoke to me about was having compassion. It's going to be the most important thing moving forward and bridging the divide between people on different sides of the political spectrum. You have to be more mindful and to be more empathetic as to why individuals might be feeling the way that they're feeling right now. That's something that Amber Canoza really stressed. And Jess Schirmeister really hoped that there could be some more space for listening and not just reacting. And that means actually listening, not just trying to start an argument, which is very common amongst, you know, people discussing politics in this current climate. So really sitting down and listening to the concerns or the feelings of your family members, wherever you may sit on the spectrum, is going to be crucial to move forward. And eventually working to heal the divide is going to require a lot of patience. We are still early on in the process of moving through this post-election environment. And it's going to require some self-reflection and acknowledgement of others' feelings. Again, wherever you sit, you're going to have to be able to put yourself in the shoes of other people. And that's going to be important if, you know, you want to see each other at Christmas.
Okay. Well, Alexis, thank you for taking the time out to go and speak with these experts to help and give the Pittsburgh region a nice little guide to help navigate this potentially a contentious holiday season. Hopefully it won't be, but in the event that there are some obstacles, thank you for providing a little bit of help to make that a little bit easier.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving, whatever that looks like for you this year.
Thanks for joining. If you enjoyed this week's episode, share the podcast to help keep Western PA locally informed with insightful discussion and the latest news from your area. It's an easy way to spread the word, and it helps our podcast reach more people like you. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and turn on episode notifications so you never miss new content. Once again, I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom.